This episode of Innovations in Education is brought to you by Adobe Sign. Adobe Sign helps schools go paperless, which revolutionizes the business of running an institution. Use Adobe Sign to create seamless workflows that are simple for staff and students to complete and can save your school both time and money. Reduce errors, increase security and compliance, and foster operational resiliency. From HR, finance, and procurement forms to student-facing forms like IEPs and device consent forms, paperless workflows powered by Adobe Sign create digital experiences in schools that make life a little easier for the entire campus community. Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in EdTech. I'm Kevin Hogan, and I'm glad you found us. On today's show, we have a smorgasbord of interesting content and pointers that were recently posted to eSchool News. These include conversations with Frank Catalano on what the EdTech industry event scene is looking like for 2022, as well as a discussion with Barrett Puchas, Director of Information Technology for Brevard Public Schools in Florida, and a winner of the eSchool News Hero Awards, about how his story on protecting his district from a ransomware attack last year. But first, I want to dive into some stories as we start here into October. Unfortunately, the pandemic is still very much with us and affecting millions of teachers and students who continue to wrestle with hybrid and remote teaching strategies. It really is sort of a bad news, good news scenario. You know, the bad news is obvious. I mean, so tired of talking about the pandemic and the traumas that it's put upon everybody. If you step back and maybe look at the good news, teachers and students have become incredibly adept at using these new technology tools, and it looks as if those techniques are going to stick around. More and more of the stories I read about, again, from the perspective of the negative, which is the COVID and school still being shut down, there is an interesting take on how, you know, this greatest beta test in ed tech history is actually proving to have some successes. There are a couple pieces recently posted to eSchool News that point to those realities. The first by Kerry Larkin, who's the Senior Education Advisor for Education Partnerships at Lexia Learning. She wrote a piece called Five Learning Strategies That Are Here to Stay. Here's strategy number three. She points out that you should leverage technology to narrow target gaps. Students are coming back to us with resilient and strong with a new set of skills. Students and teachers will also return hurting. We have experienced significant trauma, either directly or through watching friends and family grapple with all the events of this last year. Virtual platforms can help teachers to individually diagnose and target narrow skills that may need recovery, or that may need to be built from the ground up. When we come back to the classroom this fall, we should consider narrowing which skills need more practice and recovery as accurately and deeply as we can. That way, we're not looking at kids or teachers from a deficit model. There's another insightful piece that resonated, and that was written by Jenny Torres, and she's Vice President of Curriculum at Waterford.org. And she compared the current global trauma to her experiences in the classroom after Hurricane Katrina. She writes, after the initial emergency passed and life seemed to settle into a routine, the stress remained. Residual trauma existed from the variety of experiences related to evacuation, loss of home, loss of family, fear for family members and friends who were left behind, anxiety for those putting their own lives at risk to save others, and the exhaustion from returning to the reality of trying to rebuild. Stress became a constant, and when the pressure continues over long periods, the brain and body are impacted. That's a sentiment I've heard from several folks, especially experts in the social-emotional learning field, that, you know, we kind of focus on the learning loss when it comes to numbers in math and reading, but maybe the most important thing this year is going to be grappling with those behavioral issues as students try to come back to whatever a new normal is. Now, one other silver lining, if we want to call it that, although it's a bit cliche, is the renewed communication via Zoom, via different platforms between faculty and parents. I know as a parent myself, I've spoken more with my kids' teachers in the past 18 months than I have in the past 18 years, BP, before the pandemic. When you look at tools like Zoom, where it's certainly not effective to be teaching to a class of 40 kids from a computer screen, it is a lot more effective to have a one-on-one with a parent-teacher conference or a counseling office, or even some school board meetings have been found to be more effective on the Brady Bunch style online versus maybe some of the in-person toxic dynamics that you might find when you're meeting with folks face-to-face. So to talk about that, I reached out to Frank Catalano. He's the chief marketing officer for Parent Square. He's also a longtime industry veteran that I've had the pleasure of speaking with in person. These days, of course, we're still online, but have a listen to where Frank talks about a recent report that they just put out called Effective Family Communications from Content to Cadence. Okay, Frank, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be here, Kevin.
I want to talk a little bit about the differences with your role. Now, I've known you for a number of years, but with your more recent role, coming at the same time where there's these brand new dynamics when it comes to the communication between teachers, administrators, the school district, and parents. You know, as with anything else, there's a BP before the pandemic, and then hopefully there'll be an after the pandemic. Right now, unfortunately, we're still during the pandemic, but many, many changes, many, many different dynamics changing. But one of the most important ones, and maybe hopefully one of the positives that may come out of all this, is an improved communication using technologies, both synchronous and asynchronous, to keep a dynamic going with the family. Can you talk a little bit about the research that you guys have done? And the recent report that you came out that kind of gives advice on how to best improve those relationships.
Kevin, I think it's extremely accurate to say that the importance of being able to reach families wherever they are, wherever the students happen to be, became really clear during